Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Psalm 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You may be seated. Appetite will decide your life. When the Bible said he sets before you blessing and cursing, you choose. What will decide the choice you make is what you have an appetite for. I'm convinced that 80% of the hospitals would be empty and 80% of the doctors would be out of business if America would change our eating habits. You have the worst eating habits in the world, and I lead the pack. I just love Twinkies. And one of the reasons why I like them is somebody told me, and I haven't documented it, they say there's formaldehyde in that white stuff inside, and when you die, you're automatically embalmed. I don't know whether it's true or not. Thank you for your birthday thoughts and wishes and gifts. And even just before I came to the board, I got another great gift. I got some Twinkies, praise God. And so I know what my midnight snack is. But your appetite decides your health. It really does. But I'm not going to talk primarily about our physical appetite as much as our spiritual appetite. You know, wild animals are very hard to trap and to get in control of and put it in a zoo. And if it weren't for their appetite, they would be impossible to trap. That's how you trap animals, is their appetite. You don't do it all of a sudden. You'll just put that out there. Whatever they want to eat, you just put it out there every day, and then you go away. Every day, you go away. Every day, sooner or later, you can trap that animal. The devil knows that. And the devil has desired us, the Bible said, like he did Peter. And he has realized that one of the greatest ways that he can entrap people is through their appetite. It's what we do with our cows. I run some cows and lots of horses and things and always have. But I found out if you feed them regularly, you don't have to chase them because they can outrun you. But if you'll just put that feed out every day, you can get it in a small enclosure where you can shut a gate on them. They do that because of their appetite. That's the way animals are trained. You see, you go to the circus or you see on TV, you see these animals doing those tricks. They don't know what they're doing. I know a lot of you think that your dogs can think and talk like you do, but I got some bad news for you. You're smarter than your dog. But the way animals are trained, and I've trained a lot of horses, the way animals are trained is through their appetite. And particularly, we call it treats and finding it. And so with our cows, we feed what we call cakes or cubes. And every day, I've got some out here at the edge of town. I don't want to have to go find those things every day. So all I do is walk out there and I go, and here they break out of that brush and come running because they know that I'm going to give them some cubes or I'm going to give them some pellets, and they know that every day. And it costs me, you know, about $2 a day, but it's a whole lot better than being down there for 2 hours trying to figure out where they are. And so they are entrapped. They're controlled by their appetite, and we are controlled by our appetite. The adversary tempts man by appealing to his appetite. Every addict and alcoholic are so because somebody enticed them through their appetite. I've always been amazed, and I know nothing about the drug world except what I see on TV. I've always been amazed that people are addicted, like to get other people addicted. I don't know why that is, but I've seen that that's a pattern. They want to get other people addicted. But sometimes we just develop an appetite for certain things, and sometimes we have a food aversion, a taste aversion, a tendency to avoid or make negative associations with certain foods. You know, people that are carnal have an aversion to spiritual food. They have aversion to the things of God. A Bible to them is a foreign, distasteful object. A church building is something to be avoided at all costs. And what better way for the devil to destroy people than to cause them to fear the thing that will fuel their life? And he does that. People fear the thing that will fuel their life. As God uses faith to bring us to him and into his kingdom, the devil uses fear to cause people to flee the kingdom of God. Some people have spiritual anorexia. They simply have a general loss of appetite. They don't want to hear anything that's spiritual. Everything they see and everything they hear is something that feeds their carnal nature. They have no interest in the Word of God, no interest in worship, no interest in spiritual song. So these things I'm discussing are physical, but they are even more prevalent and deadly in the spiritual realm. The devil has a two-pronged attack to come against people, to prevent us from consuming God's spiritual food and replacing it with a poisoned carnal substance. You know, I've watched so many of these stupid things on TV, I got addicted to them. You can get addicted to stuff on TV. I just got addicted to women killing their husbands. And I watched program after program, and I've gotten so suspicious of Sister Becky. But the number one thing they always do is antifreeze, because antifreeze apparently didn't have a taste. I would think after a while you would just realize this orange juice is doing something to me, but they never do. And then they have to get a forensic detective after he's dead to figure out she killed him with antifreeze. You know, the devil does the very same thing. The devil does not destroy you in a day. He doesn't destroy you in an hour. It's a very gradual process. If he can get you addicted and get you an appetite for things that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Word of God, eventually it has an effect on you. I've watched people all my life. You have to realize that I've pastored two-thirds of my life, and I've watched people that they do not suddenly depart, but it's just little appetites they get for things that begin to draw them away from the presence of God. That's not an accident. That is a well-laid-out plan of the adversary. Esau, of all people, Esau had a birthright to become one of the major actors in the Word of God. He was an heir, and he was going to receive all of these, and the devil used his appetite to cause him to lose out. The Bible said he even sought to get back with tears carefully, but he never got back. But it was because of his appetite. Remember this, that the devil is always wanting you to sacrifice your future for your present. And so at that moment, Esau said, I don't care about anything. I'm hungry now. I've watched people with addictions. Addictions are amazing, because when you are addicted to something, you lose your mind. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. My brother-in-law was telling me the other day about a pastor friend we knew. I said, what happened to him? Because I knew that he'd been totally destroyed, and lost his church and lost his ministry and lost his family. And I never did hear. And he said, well, I'll tell you what happened. He said it was on television, and it was on in the newspaper that in the city where he was pastoring, there was a major sting operation to catch men that were engaging in unlawful homosexual activity in the parks. He said, now, it was on the television and on in the newspaper. Everybody knew the sting was going on. But he said he left visiting somebody in the hospital and went straight to that park and got arrested and lost everything. He simply did not care, because the devil had entrapped him with an addiction. And when you become addiction, you'll sell everything you've got to feed that addiction. Every addiction starts with an appetite, just a little bit, just a little bit, not a whole lot, just a little bit. I don't drink coffee because I don't have an appetite for it. My mother drank two pots of coffee all of my life, and I never drank. I loved to smell it. My daddy would usually get up real early in the morning. He'd fix the coffee. You could smell it in the house. And I thought, it smells so good. And when I drank my first cup of coffee, I was so disappointed. Boy, it just didn't taste like it smelled. I saw a little boy the other day, maybe 5 years old, and he was on social media. He kept wanting Hershey's powdered chocolate out of the can. I remember this very same thing happened to me as a little boy. When you think chocolate, oh, it is so good. And so he kept asking his mama for a spoonful of that, and finally she said, okay. And when he put that in his mouth, he spit it all over her and everybody else. It just didn't taste like it. And that's the way coffee was. I was so disappointed. But my mother drank two pots every day. She got up one day. I was probably 20 years old then or close to it. And she said, I'm not drinking no more coffee. I quit today. I thought, that's not going to last. Mama never drank no more coffee. I couldn't have made it. She just like that, she quit. I don't even know why she quit. She didn't even say why. She just quit. But I was always so disappointed. But I do drink coffee, or used to occasionally, and that would be about once every year when I was on a deer lease and it was freezing cold, I'd drink that hot coffee. Not because the law liked the taste. I just had cold. But I never developed it. And one reason, somebody said, well, you got to develop a taste for it. I didn't want to develop a taste for it because I don't want to have to get up every morning and make a pot of coffee. I want to get up and be out that door. I don't have time for all this. And so I purposely said, I'm not going to develop a taste for this. There's a lot of things in this world that I haven't developed a taste for. Do you know yourself at all? Do you know your nature? I am an optimist by nature. When I first started playing golf, I'd hit the ball and it'd lose it, be gone. Everybody would be looking in the rough for my ball. You know where I look for it? I looked in the hole. I thought every shot I hit, I'd go up and look in the hole. I played golf for I don't know how many years and never got a hole in one in my life, but I kept looking at the hole. I always thought that's where it went, and it went in the hole. That's just my nature. And so I'm saying that to say this. My nature is to be a gambler. I don't gamble because, friend, I would bet the farm because I think I'm going to win every time. I just think I'm a winner. Why wouldn't I win? And so I would bet on the Astros last night, and I would have lost this church building. I thought for sure they'd pull it out last night. I just don't gamble. I know myself. And so I say, ooh, I'm going to curb that appetite. I'm not going to let that get started because I know what I would do. I would be in Vegas. Like, I got a banker who goes to Vegas every month. I don't know how she stays in the bank. I hope she's not going on my money. I never thought of that before. But you've got to know yourself. And you've got to realize this is tempting me. This is an appetite that I cannot develop a taste for. I can't let it get started. Every addiction starts with an appetite, something that you like. Esau lost everything that he was promised and guaranteed simply because of his appetite. And he said, I'm going to sacrifice the future for the present, and that's exactly what addictions do. I've pastored people that had great jobs, great, beautiful homes, and they would become addicted. They'd lose their job. They'd sell their possessions out of their house for pennies on the dollar to feed that addiction. And so you have to realize that the devil realizes that the easiest way to destroy your life is through your appetite. Satan cultivates deadly appetites. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust or his own appetite. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The key between those that succeed and those that fail is not that we're not tempted, is that we know how to control our appetite. And even Jesus was tempted in all points. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, what was it? It was when Jesus was fasting 40 days, and he said, turn that stone into bread. Friend, there is nothing after you fasted a few days than bread. I mean hot bread with butter on it. You got to be a superhuman being to avoid that. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was. The devil tried to appeal to him through his appetite. But you have to realize that you don't make a provision to fulfill your lust thereof. You make a provision. People that fall into sin make a provision before they fall. They're tempted, and then they make a provision, and then they fall to that appetite. So if you buy it, you're going to consume it. Say, I'm going to buy this. You know, I'm an HEB. I'm going to get it. But I'm not going to eat it. I'll just save it for later. You're going to eat it in the car. Man, I love grapes. If I go to H-E-B and get grapes, by the time I get to the house, I got the stem left. I just keep reaching. Same thing with French fries. If I go to McDonald's and get a meal to go and it's got the French fries with it, time I get there, all I got left is just a sandwich and an empty sack where the fries used to be. And so put it back. If you make a provision, you're going to fulfill that provision in your life. You've got to learn to control your appetite. If you cook it, you're going to eat it. If you buy it, you're going to eat it. Turn off the stove. What is lust and addiction? Unbridled appetite. Just unbridled. In other words, just whatever. But you don't have to live that way because God has got a plan. The Apostle Paul, there's one verse that just gives us a secret. He said, I'm addicted to the ministry. Everybody in the world is addicted to something. And you just have to decide what you're going to be addicted to. I'm addicted to the things of God. I've got a man that works for us sometimes, and he's an electrician. He's a wonderful guy. But the first time he started working for me, I couldn't believe it. He talked out loud. I kept answering him, and finally I realized he wasn't talking to me. He's talking to himself. I mean, it's a real conversation. No, if you put this wire over here, no, that won't work. I'll put this wire here. I thought he's talking to me. I kept answering to him, and he just ignored me. He was talking to himself. One thing I've learned, and I think this is a powerful thing. You might not like it at all, but Paul said, pray without ceasing. When I was a young man, I thought a lot about that verse. And I said, now, why was Paul lying? He didn't pray without ceasing. He was a tent maker. He was making tents. He couldn't have been. And then I realized that he was saying, you don't have to be in a church building, or you don't have to be in a certain posture to pray. You simply talk to the Lord. If somebody's not with me, I'm praying. I promise you that. I just talk to the Lord just like I would talk to you if you were with me. The only thing is he's got better answers than you would have, and he's got more power than you would have. It's a habit I have just talking to the Lord. I'm addicted to a ongoing conversation with the Lord. And folks, it works. It works. If you take all your downtime, all your traffic time, all your time when you're alone, and just talk to the Lord, you will develop something that will bring to you an addiction. You will literally become addicted to the conversation you have with the Lord, and you will become powerful in prayer. You know, one of the devil's tricks is to say, well, the only time you can pray is your prayer time or your prayer place. He wants to relegate you to a certain period of time or a certain place to pray. But if you get in the Spirit of the Lord, you'll pray anywhere, anytime, dozens of times every day. It will change your life. You become addicted to prayer. Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry. I might be making tents, but when I'm whipping that needle and that thread through that tent canvas, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm planning my next missionary journey. I'm asking God how to do this, and God is answering. You see, everybody's addicted to something. The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. People are addicted to those. But David talked about in his presence there's fullness of joy. He found his pleasure in the presence of Almighty God. You are a unique people. I said this at the onset of the service. We are a unique people. You're not here because something dire is going to happen to you because you didn't show up tonight. Nobody's going to ring your phone. Nobody's going to embarrass you. There's nothing, no mechanism that we have that we can do anything in your life. You came to this house because you made a decision that you wanted to be here. And the only reason why you made that decision is you have an appetite. David had an appetite for the things of God. Paul had an appetite for the things of God. There used to be an amazing evangelist. He's in heaven now. He was middle-aged when I was a young kid, and I followed him in Bakersfield, California. When I was 18, I held a 6-month revival in Bakersfield. But prior to that, a man by the name of Verbal Bean had been there. That church ran several hundred people, and many of those people in that church were converts of Verbal Bean. He was an amazing evangelist. just an amazing evangelist. I got to know Verbal fairly well and followed him and was in some service with him. He was an amazing evangelist. He could just take the pulpit and just had a way of persuading people to give their life to Christ and get filled with the Holy Spirit. But he only had about three revival full-time evangelists. He only had about three revivals a year because he would always stay 2 to 6 months in every revival. And they'd go every night. Somebody asked Brother Bean, said, why do you go so long in your revivals? He said, the reason why I do that is, he said, I want to get people saved. But he said, if I keep them in church every night for 6 months, he said, they'll go to the church the rest of their life. What he was saying is, I'm not only getting them saved, I'm developing an appetite for them. They will get an appetite for the things of God. When the Bible teaches us that we should train up our children when they are young, that's what he's talking about. Help your children develop an appetite. If you don't bring your children, say, well, my kids don't like to go to church, so we leave them home. You're making a mistake. Say, how do you know that? Because when I was a little boy, I didn't want to go to church either. But my mom and daddy made me go to church. When I look back at my life, everything that I am now is because of my parents and the appetite that they created in me. I talk about eating Twinkies all the time, and truth is, I like Twinkies. But I like them little chocolate, well, Zingers or whatever they call them. Those are great. Those are awesome, too. I just like junk food. But you know what my favorite food in the world is? Jay Leno said that he never has eaten a salad in his entire life. He said, I can't stand the thought of eating a salad. Never eaten one in all of his life. My favorite food in the world is salad. I could eat salad every meal, every day. If there was one food that I had, they said that you're only going to eat one food the rest of your life, it'd be salad. I love salad. And that goes back to when I was a little boy. I can remember sitting in the house. My mom, we had a big old kitchen and a round table, and there's four of us kids, and two uncles lived with us, and neighbors there, and my mother would cook these huge meals all the time. She could really cook. And so I just remember that. But I remember we always had salad. And I remember I didn't like salad. And my daddy would say, Stevie, you're not getting up for this table until you eat that salad. And I would sit there, and daddy said, don't get up. He'd leave and go do something. He'd come back, check, see if I... Everybody else was gone, and I detested salad. He'd make me sit at that table sometime an hour after everybody else was gone, and I'd finally eat some salad so I could go. He made me do that day after day after day, and he poured French dressing on it. Today, my favorite dressing is French dressing, and my favorite food is salad. If it hadn't been for that, I would be one big Twinkie. But my God, my dad influenced me. He created an appetite for something that I really didn't want. Your kids are probably not just going to get up and say, hey, I just want to go to church. They're going to say, no, I don't want to go to church. I want to do this. I want to do that. Why? Because they're a kid. But your responsibility is to train your children. But the reason why we can't train our children is we ain't trained ourselves. And you can't train your children if you don't train yourself. And so you have to realize that you do not just get an appetite, you train an appetite. Some people they come to the house of God for a while and then they lose their appetite for spiritual things. The Bible addresses this in a very, very negative way. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. What's that passage saying? He's saying, once you know the things of God and you've had appetite for them and tasted of them and ingested them, experienced them, and then you fall away and you lose your appetite, he said, there's no place to go. There's nothing left. I thank God that I've been going to church for 72 years, and I'm as excited about it today as I was 15 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. I love to come to God's house. I have an appetite. How'd that happen? It was a process. It wasn't something that I was just gifted with. It was a process. I just went so much, it became a part of me. And now I love to go to God's house. The same thing with the Word of God. I just find God's Word amazing. I'm just amazed that the Word of God is so relevant in the 21st century when it was written so long ago. But it is. And I find in the Scripture such an analysis of the time we live in, such a prompting of what I should do in this situation, such direction in my life. And so I love to read the Bible. These are appetites that I have, and nothing in the world can compare with the spiritual appetite. I've got so interested in things in my life, but they're always short-lived. I used to love to play golf, but it didn't last very long. I used to love to restore old cars, but it didn't last very long. I've had all kinds of interests, but they are not really embedded into my psyche. They're not really a part of me. They come and go. But praise God, I want to tell you that God's kingdom has come into my life, and it's never gone. It's the same, and it gets better and better and better and better. And as I get older, I realize that nothing else matters but the spiritual things and God's kingdom. How do you cultivate an eternal appetite? It starts with a taste. And how do you do that? By choosing your menu carefully. I would like to find a restaurant that could live up to its menu. You know, Denny's is all right. But man, if they could live up to that menu they've got. The best thing Denny's got is pancakes. You got to learn where to eat. If you want chili, Wendy's has got great chili. If you want pancakes, believe it or not, McDonald's has great pancakes. You got to learn where to go. But the thing I'm saying is everybody's got a good menu, but they can't produce what's on the menu. But friend, when I began to search the menu, which is the Word of God, I found out that God lives up to the hype. I found out that God's Spirit lives up to the menu. Choose your menu carefully. I can promise you that if you study the menu long enough, you're going to want some of that. That's when you're drawn away by your own enticement, your own lust. Is you're looking at the menu wrong, you're looking at the menu too long. Exercise produces appetite. The Bible teaches us that. In Hebrews, it said, exercise your senses so you won't be a person that lives on milk, but you will have strong meat as you mature in the Lord. And so exercise, it is a crying shame that most Christians do nothing but occasionally attend church or even regularly attend church, but they never exercise what God has given them. God expects you to get stronger and stronger. Not to live on milk. He doesn't expect you to be in the same condition this year that you were last year. The Bible talks about the ministry of the saints. You don't get excited about a church unless you have an investment in that church. Not just your tithe and your offering, but the investment of your time. You invest yourself in that. You get a ministry. You know, Brother Green sits here. Brother Michael sits there. All of these brothers. Brother Chris sits there. Brother Jerome, been with us all those years. If they had not got involved in a ministry, they probably would not have been here. They probably would not have been here. It is the ministry that causes your appetite and your addiction to the things of God. Paul said, addicted to the ministry of the saints. God never expected you just to be an attendee. He expected you to be a participant in the kingdom of God. We are called the body of Christ for a reason. Christ's body did not come just to attend. It came to serve. Jesus was a servant to the ministry of the believers. And we are to be the same way. And as you involve yourself in the ministry, you develop an appetite for the things of God. You become addicted to it. You live for it. You train for it. You say, this is a part of what I like. This is what I like more than anything in life. I'm just always reminded of a man that I knew. He was like Brother Jerome. He was the usher in a church in Fort Worth that I knew of for about 30 or 40 years. He passed away a few years ago. He was quite elderly when he passed away. But when they found him, he always wore a jacket, either a sport coat or a suit. When they found him, he just collapsed one day and went to heaven. When they found him, his pockets were loaded with tracts. Because he was so addicted to the ministry. He was a businessman, but everywhere he went, he was sharing the gospel, giving him tracts, telling people that's what he lived for. He happened to be the father-in-law of Reba McEntire. And he was just an amazing son of God, a saint of God, addicted to the ministry. That's what he lived for. And because of that, that was his appetite. And you could trace his life, and there just wasn't any failure in his life. Your appetite decides how many failures you'll have. If you have an appetite for the things of the world, you're going to fail regularly. But if you get an appetite for the things of God, your failures will be minimal at the very worst, and generally not at all. Just begin to say, this is what I live for. Just reason with yourself and say, this thing that I'm thinking about is not going to last very long. It's not going to help anybody. You know, I got some beautiful cards for my birthday, and one of them said, one that I remember particularly, said, your life has made a difference to a lot of people. Somebody wrote that in one of the cards they sent me, and I thought, has it really? Because that's all life really means. If your life does not make a difference in a lot of other people's lives, you have lived in vain. If all of your life just matters about a job, and a house, and a bank account, and what you could acquire, and you die, you've lived in vain. It was just a tremendous thing the other day. And I don't know how many people saw it. Sister Chris was here, and I went over and got her, and I brought her over to this side of the building on a Sunday, and somebody asked me, said, what was that? What it was there's a lady here that comes, she drives here from Crystal City about twice a month. But about 40 years ago, Sister Chris was working, if I'm getting the story right, as a registrar at the Holiday Inn, wasn't it? As the Holiday Inn. And this lady was a major force in the political goings-on of Crystal City, Texas, and always under the gun. When you're involved in politics, that's a vulnerable lifestyle, and she was going through it. Crystal City has some real political skirmishes down there. And so she came in, and she set a bottle of wine on the desk to register. And she told Chris, she said, I'm from Crystal City. I had to get away. I'm going to go to my room, and I'm going to drink this wine. And Chris, it was on a Saturday. We had a Saturday night service. And Chris said, you don't really need to do that because I'm going to get off in a few minutes, and I'm going to church. Would you like to go with me? And so Deanna said, yeah, I'll go with you. And so on that Saturday night 40 years ago, she came to church in the theater building where we were. And God baptized her with the Holy Ghost the first time she ever stepped her foot in a spirit-filled building. This is 40-some years later. She's still living for God. She has won dozens, if not hundreds, of people to the Lord in Crystal City. And so Chris won her. She wins many other people. That is saying I'm addicted to the ministry. That's saying that's where my appetite is. My appetite is the things of God. There's nothing that I crave in this world like seeing people come to Christ, feeling God's presence. Some people just are totally foreign to God's presence. But I'm going to tell you, God's Spirit is a tangible force in my life. In His presence is fullness of joy. And that's my appetite. I have no desire to go be in a club, no desire to live like people do. And I've got a lot of people that have left the denomination that I left years ago. And that was a very legalistic situation and very controlling. And so when they leave that, The restraints are taken off, and now they have to be their own Lord. They have to govern their own life. And I just find out it's so amazing how many of these people don't do good. Once those constraints that they're used to are gone, they don't do good. But I've never fallen prey to the same problems that so many of them have. I preached to them a few years ago, about 2,000 of them, and almost all of them was from my background in Houston, Texas. And when I got through, the whole 2,000 came to the altar because I was preaching about the shipwreck of faith and how coming out of legalism is so dangerous because you've got people telling you what to do and what not to do. And once those constraints are lifted, you just go crazy wild. You say, oh man, grace is everything. But grace is not a license to sin. Grace is an invitation to come to a place you've never been, to be included in something that you have been foreign to. That's what grace is. And so they all came to the altar, and so many people did recommitments that night or whatever. But the point that I'm making is I don't have that temptation. When those constraints were lifted from me, I didn't say, what can I get by with? How much can I drink? Where can I go? Because I was already addicted because of the fact that for all of those years, I have felt God's presence. I've ate of God's word. The Holy Ghost has flowed through me. I've gone to God's house several times every week. I've always talked and prayed with God. It's just a part of my appetite. It's a part of my addiction. You're a coffee drinker. I'm a God chaser. It's just part of me. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to say, oh man, I ought to go to church. I don't have to think about that. Oh, I think I ought to pray. I don't have to think about it. I don't ever say, oh, you hadn't read the Bible today. You need to read the Bible. None of those things do I have to think about. Nobody has to remind me to eat Twinkies. I just eat them. Praise God. I see one, it's gone. But I'm the same way at a salad bar. I love a salad bar. Nobody has to guide me to that and tell me to do that. That's my appetite. And so the greatest thing you can do for yourself is train your appetite. It's not something you're born with. It's not even something that when you get saved and get filled with the Spirit that you'll automatically have it. You'll have to begin to train yourself. Train yourself to read the Word of God. Train yourself to pray. Train yourself to worship. Train yourself to go to the house of God. Train yourself to be a witness, to talk to the woman that checks in to the holiday. Train yourself to do that. And at some point in your life, it will no longer be something that you have to be reminded of. It will just be your appetite. It'll just be your lifestyle. And when you get to that point, friend, I promise you, that's when living for God becomes easy. Somebody said, it never becomes easy. It becomes easier. I promise you. I promise you. It's difficult when you are first starting and you don't know anything. But if you will develop that appetite day by day, service by service, hour by hour, prayer by prayer, scripture by scripture, if you'll work on that appetite, there is a point in your life where you will become victorious. And the things that tempt other people won't even be a consideration in your mind because you would rather pray than play. You'd rather attend God's house than you would go to a bar. Why is that? That's what your appetite is. And God wants us to have that appetite. He said, hunger and thirst after God's kingdom. The Bible said that we are to follow the Lord and pant after God like a deer pants after water. We're supposed to seek the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm always wanting more. And I never have got sick of it. When I was a little boy, like I said, we had a lot of people at the table. And Mother, she baked a lot of pies. And she baked banana pies. Banana pie was my favorite pie. And I just could never get enough. There was four kids and two uncles and neighbors. Just, you know, the pie was gone. Just get one piece, it was gone. And I said, Mama, is there any more pie? She said, son, it's all gone. And she said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bake you when nobody's around one day. I'm going to bake you your own banana pie. She baked me a banana pie. And I'm about 8 years old or something. I'm not very big. I was always real small when I was young. I ate the whole dadgum thing. I ate the whole pie in one setting. I've never felt the same about banana pie. Son. It's not one of my cravings. I still like it, but with limitation. But I'm not that way with the things of God. The more I taste of God, the more I want. You know, when there's a church I watch, and I wouldn't tell you what church it is for another, but there's a church I watch every Sunday, and I watch it because it's tragic. It's a train wreck. It's the worst service I've ever seen on TV, and I watch it, and I think, this can't be real. They can't be that bad. If I was not a Christian watching that, I'd become an atheist. It just repels me. It is so boring. It is so dead. I just can't stand it, but I can't turn away. I'm just saying, this is not happening in the name of Christianity, but it is. And I watch it almost every Sunday, not a long time, but about 5 or 10 minutes, just to make sure that the corpse is still there. And it's just so diametrically opposed to Living Way and Cornerstone and other great churches. It's just so different than that. I just can't believe they're still in business, but they are. What are you saying? I'm saying, no matter what happens at Living Way Church, I want more. I want more. I don't care if we have 50 people get saved. I want 51. I don't care if the power of God comes down like rain and we're slain out and laid out. I want more. I'm addicted to the power and the presence of God. And the Bible said we're made together, set together in a heavenly place. I just want to make the place more heavenly all the time. More heavenly all the time. More power, more spirit, more angels, more ministry, more souls, more love, more worship, more sing, more praise. If it was up to me, we would have church 7 nights a week and the services would last 6 hours. Say, why don't you do that? Well, I do that, but you're not there. Nobody but me wants it. I just love to be in God's house and to feel God's presence. The greatest things that have happened to me in life have happened in church. God saved me. God filled me. God's healed me. It's just amazing to be about God's presence. And when I come into this house, praise God, and feel God's presence, it is the greatest thing that's happened to me all day long. My spirit is connected with that. The Bible talks about familiar spirits in a negative way. It's talking about demon spirits and how those demons connect with one another. It's called familiar spirits. But there's always the other side of that. My spirit is familiar with the things of God. When I meet somebody that's got the Holy Ghost, like Jake says, my baby jumps. I mean, I can feel that they got the same Holy Ghost I got. And when I come into God's house and I can feel God's presence, and when I see people begin to worship the Lord, I identify with that because I'm feeling what they're feeling. I see them worshiping and praising God. I'm saying, they have the same love for God that I have. They have the same appreciation for God I have. And so tonight, I'm asking you that you just begin to realize that your appetite is either going to seal your place in the kingdom of God, or if you have an appetite after the things of the world, it will lure you away from God and lead you to destruction. I promise you that. I've watched so many good people, and I see them on Facebook all the time. I've got hundreds of people I see on Facebook all the time, not just this church, but all over America. I know people all over this country. And I see people that used to be so on fire for the Lord. And you can tell that their interest is anything but godly. It's anything but spiritual. Their interest in things of this world that are so short-lived. And that's their life now. And it breaks my heart. And I praise God that I today have a bigger appetite, a greater appetite for the things of God. And I believe with all of my heart that my God that is in charge knows exactly what He's doing. I don't believe the whole world is going to hell. I believe that there is a surge coming. I believe there's a revival coming. I believe there's a harvest coming, and I'm living for that, praise God. I'm back at my mama's house, sitting in the living room, and I can smell the smell coming out of the kitchen. Dinner is about to be served. God's about to do something big. I can smell it in the aroma, in the atmosphere. This is our best day. And people that have checked out are missing out on what God is about to do, because God is about to prepare for us something that we have never ever experienced in our lifetime. And folks, I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry to see churches packed with people not just praising, but people coming to Christ, people getting filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe there is a revival coming to America. I don't know all the steps that God must take to prepare America for revival, but there is a revival coming to America. I have an appetite for it. I'm hungry for it. I yearn for it. I pray for it. I believe for it. I praise God for it. It's coming down the road. I can feel it in the Holy Spirit. We are going to see signs and wonders and miracles and manifestations and souls won. Can you give God praise? I ask you, is there anybody in this house today that has an appetite for the things that I have an appetite for? Do you still enjoy prayer? Prayer is not successful until you enjoy it, until you realize I'm talking to the God of the universe and there will be a response. You know, after a while, if I call somebody a couple times and they don't get back with me, I find me a new business connection or whatever I'm trying to do. They got to get back with me. Ladies and gentlemen, when I pray, I expect a response. And I serve a God that's touched with my feeling. I serve a God that responds. I serve a God that answers. And I have an appetite to see something that I've only envisioned in the Spirit, but it's going to become a tangible reality in my life. I claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm hungry to see souls saved by the thousands. I'm hungry to see blind eyes open. I'm hungry to see lame people walk. I'm hungry to see addicts delivered. I'm hungry to see those that are in perversion delivered by the power of the living God. I have an appetite for that. And praise God, I tell you in the Spirit, I can sense that we're getting close. We're getting close to what God is going to do. If God knew the end from the beginning, I've said it for years, if God knows the end from the beginning, God would have ended this thing a long time ago if the end was not going to be better than the beginning. Praise God, the end is going to be big time. It's going to be major. It's going to be a grand finale. And praise God, I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. Something's got to happen where people do not have to be begged to pray. They don't have to be begged to go to church. They don't have to be bribed to do things for the kingdom of God. But they literally develop an appetite for it. And they crave God, His presence, His ministry, and His kingdom in Jesus' name. Can you give God a big praise tonight? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I wonder if there's anybody in this building tonight that really has a hunger for the Lord, an urgency for the things of God in your family. You're just not satisfied with the way things are. And you say, God, I want to see my family saved. God, I want to see your hand at work in my family. I want my brother saved. I want my children saved. I want my parents saved. I want you to use me, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Chris is one of my heroes. She is an amazing soul winner. Every day, she don't have a soul winning time. It's like a prayer time. It's just part of her lifestyle. I just love when I hear about people coming to Christ. We were in Florida years ago. Years ago, we was in Florida. There was a man on the street. He had nothing on except a pair of blue jeans. Didn't have any shoes on. No shirt. It was hot. Just an old street guy, dirty. I found out his story later. He had one of the biggest electrical companies in the state of Michigan. He did all the lights for the freeways. He had, I think, 200 trucks. He was married to a beautiful woman. She took all of his money, run off with somebody, and it totally destroyed him. He wasn't a Christian, just totally destroyed him. And he just went to the streets. He ended up in Florida. He was probably 60 years old or 65 then. And I was with a kid. He was a male version of Chris. I mean, just a soul. It's on fire. Just a teenage kid, maybe 18. He said, see that guy over there? I'm going to go over there, talk to him. Next thing I know, he was having this guy's hands up in the air, and he was hugging him, and they were crying together. He led that guy to Christ right there on the streets in Florida. And in a few months, that guy had moved to Austin, Texas. He found a wife in that church, and his life was forever transformed. He became my electrician. One of the old buildings we had, he did all the electrical work in it. But just an amazing deal. Those are the things I live for, those stories of people that were so near hell. And somebody reached in and plucked them like a brand out of the burning. I have an appetite for the things of God. An appetite for the things of God. Not for the things of this world, but an appetite for the things of God. The kingdom of God. To see revival just break out. Where?